Jen actually thought she was dying. She had been in so much pain for years, and it affected her day and night. Not only that, but because she had tried everything, or so she thought, she felt helpless. On today's Own Your Intuition show, you're going to hear about how, using the tools she learned from me, Jen went from chronic pain to a pain-free and thriving life by listening to her own intuition. We also talk about how being able to tune into your intuition is also good for travel tips. And we laugh about our grandfather. All on today's Own Your Intuition show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. I have been fortunate to have a large number of my good friends study with me, and some of my relatives. The person you are about to meet today on today's Own Your Intuition show is one I've known her whole life. Her mother and my mother are sisters, which makes her my cousin. Her name is Jen Gilbertson. Welcome, Jen. I am so glad you're here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself to start, so our listeners know who you are?
Absolutely. So I go by Jen most often. I'm a registered public health nurse, soon to be a health and wellness certified coach with a private practice, which I'm really excited about. I have started to develop my nursing practice to all things holistic, as I'm really drawn to that. I love to incorporate evidence-based interventions into my practice, and I'm really excited to create some emphasis on sound therapy, on mindfulness practices, imagery, and just generally helping people reconnect with our earth, because I have such a strong connection with earth. As far as what I like to do in my spare time, I am a lover of nature. I love water, motorcycles, guitars, and travel, not necessarily in that order.
I love it. Okay, so I also like to start by having my guests tell me one thing that they love about themselves, because I really feel like self-love is the foundation for so many things and allows flourishing. But I also like to start by saying one thing I love about you. So one thing I love about you, Jen, is your beautiful and vivid imagination. When you learn a concept, it's like in 3D with full color. And you're also innately tuned to the mystical, like I am. And so that's always fun to watch for me. And I know this is more than one, but sometimes it's hard to pick. You're also super funny. Jen often comes out with these really hilarious things. For instance, I still laugh about that time in our class when you compared yourself with a cartoon dog. Do you remember that? I think you were talking about being grumpy. How did you describe yourself? How did it go?
So we were talking about how we can sense in our bodies when we have maybe perhaps forgot to do some grounding or do some of the four pack. And the visualization that came into mind when I was asked to express what that feels like for me was just the image of like a cartoon dog with suspicious grumpy eyes that are looking left and right. So that was my truth in that moment. But also, thank you for the nice compliments. I actually, one of the things that I love to bring to both my private and professional life is just a little spot of humor. I think that might run in the family.
possibly. Definitely our grandfather loved humor, let's say.
Absolutely.
So just for reference.
One thing I love go ahead. Sorry.
I want to hear that. But I want to say just for reference, because I've actually talked a lot about Jen and I's grandfather in some of my previous podcasts. So we share Roy Alvin Stanley, who is somebody you've all heard about in some of my other podcasts. And he also is featured in my book. So go ahead, Jen. What do you love about yourself other than your funny humor?
I actually reflected a lot on this. Sometimes it's really hard to put a pin on when you're self-evaluating, but I would have to say that I love my grit, which would be like my ability to adapt and move forward, even in the face of like heavy or many obstacles. So that would be a thing that I love about myself.
Yay. Perfect. Thank you for sharing. Okay, so you did my Empath Intuition University, just for a little context here, which I most recently renamed to Claim Your Empathic Superpower. You did that in March of 2021, and then you followed it back to back, as many of my students have done, with my Own Your Intuition program in November of 21. Can you give us a snapshot of where you were when you started my program? So maybe energetically, or how you were feeling about yourself, your sensitivities, and or just being in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. What a fantastic question too. I always understood that I had intuition and empathic traits to a certain extent, but I wasn't using them in a useful or purposeful way. I had always had a little minimal sort of awareness that I had the abilities, but I wasn't aware of any tools. I wasn't protecting myself from energetic leaks, nor was I understanding or listening to my body or my highest self in a way that I understood that was what was happening in a caring, deep or useful way. And I was oftentimes finding that I was tuning into some of my fear-based signals often, which was leaving me feeling anxious, drained, and very much burnt out in my work as a caregiver. So there was definitely some things that I was able to put a finger on, but I wasn't really able to put a finger on exactly what to do about it.
I love it. Perfect. Okay. So I'm just remembering that time in my mind. It was also in the heat of COVID. Jen is a nurse. So there was a lot of intensity in the world. Let us just say that. So thank you.
Very, very that.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Right.
Okay. So that's where you were when you started. I would love to know, what were the biggest take-homes for you?
Sure, certainly. I can say without a single doubt in my mind that it improved my confidence in using my intuition abilities. I really feel that using the tools that I learned in the classes, I was able to unlock from the overwhelm of some of my fear-based thinking that would normally cause me to hesitate or almost be immobile from moving forward in my life or making the big decisions, I was able to turn all of those around. So I was able to then, you know, trust myself, realize when some of my thinking was fear-based and not for my highest good. And I was able to explore the tools enough to help me stay grounded, clear, listening to my highest purposes, and then in from that place, in that seat of power, really be able to make good choices for myself and move myself forward. So for the sort, it was also able to use like all of these skills in like literally all places of my life. So personal and in my relationships with, you know, friends, and then and also professionally. So the biggest take homes were, I mean, really across the board for me, as far as really just dropping in into my seat of power and like trusting myself again and really understanding where I sat with things. And therefore, from that place, being able to navigate a lot more easily and smoothly.
So good. I love it. Jen is the person who dubbed for me. So I always refer to it as your highest self, but Jen calls hers her ancient self. And you can truly call it whatever works for you. There's no, it literally doesn't matter. And so I'm mentioning that because I also love how you just mentioned really tuned it to your seat of power. And it's not something that I don't talk about this in terms of how I talk about my programs, but ultimately that is precisely what it is. This feeling that arises once you know a few simple tools and start paying attention to what your own body and being is telling you, you really end up being established in, as you so perfectly put it, Jen, your own seat of power. And let me tell you that your own seat of power is the place that perfectly guides your life. You, whoever you are. So Jen, her doing her things, me doing my things, you, whoever you are, that is the place that when you are in it, you live the life that your soul is not only wanting and desiring, but really here for, like the reason that you're here. So beautiful words. Thank you for putting it in that way.
Oh, sure. And Amy, I would also add that once, you know, as far as like, you know, the big take home from that place, once you get into that seat of power, you're more able to take a look at some of the habit loops that you get stuck in for, you know, for sometimes the habit loops are that are not exactly great for you, and you're able to kind of be more in the moment, meaning that you can see these patterns of action. And then when you're really present and in the moment from that seat of power, you're so much more easy. You're so much more easily are you able to kind of insert yourself into that loop and break it up if it's a habit that you would, you know, not want to keep around if it's not serving you any longer. So I think that, you know, as far as like longer down the line, that would be kind of my long-term takeaway.
I love it. I love it. So as an example of that, perhaps anxious thoughts, like things that are just generally, you were mentioning fear-based thinking. I'm just trying to ground it in a little
Absolutely.
Bit of detail. So
sure. And also for me, unhealthy eating habits was a habit that I was really trying to break. So that was, I mean, really there's so many that I've inspected over the last couple of years, but those were kind of like my big breakthrough ones. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I just have to tell you that when you say inspected, all of a sudden I'm seeing in my mind the cartoon dog, and now he's got or she's got a magnifying glass. So I can't ever let go of that cartoon dog. It still makes me laugh literally so much whenever I think about it. So
I love it.
You kind of covered already also how this impacted your life. And so Right now, I'm not teaching my longer empath program that I used to, but I have an on-demand course where you can learn all of the essential tools that I feel every empath should know to thrive instead of hide. So you don't have to download everything, so you can be in control of your abilities, so you understand when what you're feeling belongs to you, when it belongs to others. And essentially, it literally covers every question that I've ever received from any of my students in the last 7 years that I've been teaching this. I started in 2015. In any case, I'm also currently I want to give you guys some context for this because it's relative. I'm also currently restructuring my Own Your Intuition program that Jen also did. So get ready. It's still going to be the very same, all the tools that I use, which I most frequently hear from my students when they are nearing the end. They say something like, I had no idea this was going to be so comprehensive. It's still going to give you all the tools that you need to understand your own intuition and your own innate knowing as the guiding wise source for your soul, as Jen is mentioning here. But it's also going to be a program that you can drop into anytime, whenever you are ready. So you don't have just the option of one start date per year, as I've been doing for the last 7 years. In any case, so it has been 2 years since you started studying with me, Jen. And this is all that buildup was to say that. I'm very keen on the longevity of my work with people. It's why I structure things this way instead of just a few days course or even a 4 week course, so that the results and the tools last you a lifetime. So can you give us any recent examples of how you've used these tools and to what end?
Absolutely. I will actually first begin and say that I actually use these tools on a daily basis. The four pack, which is a clearing of energy, a grounding, a highest self hookup, and then creating my boundaries. So I do that on the daily basis. I find it to be absolutely indispensable in my life. I just recently went to Puerto Rico with my mom and my aunt, Annette, and we had a lovely time. However, there was a large snafu that happened.
Tell us.
So there's a ferry that ferries people back and forth from the islands around Puerto Rico. Apparently sometimes if there's not enough people that buy a ticket, they will delay the ferry without hesitation. So unfortunately, what that meant for us is that we were going to miss our car rental place, and we had no way to get across the island to our next destination, which is an Airbnb. When we arrived, of course, naturally, mom's phone was dead. Auntie's phone was nearly dead, and we were so close to the closing of all of the places that rented cars, and literally everything on this island shuts down with no exceptions at 5 p.m. So we were in quite the panic, there was one gal, I really, really wish that I remember her name, but we were in such crisis mode. Because we were watching people like leave, and we're like, oh my gosh, are we going to be homeless in a strange place tonight? Of course I'm feeling like really responsible to take care of the elders in my family that I'm with. So this wonderful gal who worked at the ferry, approached, she saw that we were obviously three women of a certain age in distress, and she comes over and she says, I have a person that I feel like can help you. And she kept on coming back, and we had an unfortunate language barrier. So I wasn't fully able to understand what she was talking about. And we were all in this sort of nervous energy where we were like, okay, so we're in a strange place. We're obviously in distress. is, are we putting ourselves up or setting ourselves up to be taken advantage of?
Mm-hmm.
So there was talk from people in the group on, like, is this person somebody that we can trust? Is this person, you know, is this something that are we, because she's like handing us a person, right? So we're like, is this person going to take us out into the middle of the rainforest and drop us off and then take all of our bags, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so there's all different types of anxious thoughts and what if going on. And I, in that moment, was really able to lean on a few of the tools in my tool set. One of the ones being where if you take a breath in on one option and then you take a breath in on the other option and you feel which one gives you that more satisfying full breath, giving you a nudge, your body could give you a little bit nudge in one direction or another. I was able to use that. I also absolutely in that moment grounded myself, mm-hmm. And did the four pack. As we kind of weren't committing to this person that she was trying to offer us. And then I had reached out to the third hotel in the area that had no vacancy. And finally, this driver shows up. So this driver is 30-something-year-old male in an old van with rust on pieces of it and a broken windshield. And I looked at my traveling companions and I looked into this face of this driver, and I instantly felt in my belly a warm, safe feeling. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you guys think? I feel like we can trust him. And my aunt Annette looked at him also, and she's like, yes, I agree. And this gentleman not only drove us around until he found out the real problem was that we needed to get across the island. So not only did this gentleman bring us almost all the way halfway across the island to our Airbnb, which was a very, very long drive that taxis usually would not do, he charged us a reasonable amount. And he came back the very next morning, early in the morning, even though he had no sleep, to come pick us up. He was therefore after that time known as Victor, our savior. And I will always remember Victor. And he even stopped to get us fast food because, of course, we had not eaten. So that right there was a perfect example how I was able to, with some of the tools that I've learned, slow down in the moment. Shake off some of the energies that weren't my own. Because, you know, I was in if you can imagine, this is a ferry where there's people going left and right, so many energies around me, which used to be, almost overwhelming for me before I had tools that I could use in situations like that. I was able to drop down into my body enough where, with those tools, enough where I was able to listen and sense my intuition and trust that this is the person who was going to be able to help us out of this situation. In fact, the rest of the trip, we talked a lot about how that is so important in life. And it almost became like thread that our whole trip sort of streamed around, because there were other snafus that came up too. But after that happened, we're just like, you know what? We're going to trust our intuition on it. Let this vacation take care of itself. Let us be mindful, but also just really tune into ourselves and be in the moment. And it was really superbly beautiful. So that's a great recent example.
Oh my gosh, so good. So this is a first for me because, well, maybe not, but like pretty much. Of course, my mind goes through every little thing before it has to be completely true. But the first is intuition for travel tips story, which I love it. I love what you're describing. And especially because we can all, if you traveled at all, and if you've ever gone into a different country and you know, oh my gosh, all this stuff is going on around you and all of a sudden you need to make a decision and like, is this a yes or like, is this a really no? And so such a good example. Thank you for sharing that. And Victor, sure, your savior, and the woman out there, thank you for helping my family members, as it turns out.
Yeah, and who knows where we would have ended up without such kindness from strangers. And
you could have been sleeping like on the sidewalk at the airport.
Oh my gosh. I know. And that's what it would be. That was literally the last resort, is having a taxi take us right back to the beginning and actually sleeping in an airport situation. So,
right. Good. Well, I'm glad you avoided that. Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. So the story that I love, and I frequently tell with Jen, because you guys, I've been doing this for so long. And so I obviously have many stories of how my intuition has steered me right. But it's not just me. I have also been doing this for so long that I have tons of stories from my students of how their intuition has steered them right. And one of the things that I feel like is a post that I always put in the sand is, intuition is not this superfluous thing that is fluffy and made for crystals in the bath or whatever. It's actually a tool that you have. And I touched on it already in terms of how I actually feel like it's your soul's guidance. But also, it is so practical and it is so useful and it is not fluff, really. And so the story that I love from Jen is that while she was in her course with me, she had an existing health crisis that had been actually going on for many years and was resolved as a result of using the tools that she learned in my class. Can you tell us this story, please?
Yeah, I'd love to. Absolutely. So I had been struggling with some gut issues. I had a gallbladder removed, and I was struggling with some symptoms of IBS, but in a really sort of all-encompassing way, because one of my symptoms was some pain in my right upper quadrant that would worsen and create all kinds of problems, even with just gentle exercise. So I felt really stuck and really scared and really anxious. I, of course, had seen multiple specialists and nobody was able to find a great why for me. Mm. So of course, because I am a nurse and therefore have like what I like to call my Rolodex of horrors of things that it could potentially be. And because it had been going on for such a long time and because it was affecting almost all parts of my life, I was starting to really catastrophize about it, which in turn, if anybody knows a little bit about IBS, anxiety can actually also be a trigger. Sort of like a spiral situation was going on. And when I was going through the classes, as I was learning the tools, I was starting to really be able to exist in an area where only my energy was. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't always trying to sort through other people's stuff. I had allowed myself and given myself permission to look inwards and help myself and try to start a journey of healing with intention. And I allowed myself to start to ask for some help from the guides who are here in my highest good and from my ancient self. And so I really leaned into walking meditation Walking meditation was something for me that I was able to continue moving my brain forward, but also by focusing on my five senses while I was walking in nature, and then also pull on that on Mother Earth's healing properties while I was in going through these movements. I was able to really quiet everything down well enough to do some imagery practice. And for me, I've always been able to sort out my problems I always love to write things out. I'm a list girl. I'm a poster girl. So when I was meditating on and requesting help and really in a quiet space where I knew that I had referred to my ancient self and I knew that I was open and waiting and respectful of anything that might come down, I was able to take some options on why and what was going on and what could I do. So I really wanted to. So in your classes, you really taught us that it's not necessarily being like, gosh, please help me. Ugh, you know, that's just not specific enough, right? So I was trying to formulate great questions on how do I ask a specific enough question where I know that this is the answer. If I get something intuitively, that is going to be an answer to that question, right? So I started to ask specifically, like, what can I do next to help quell some of these symptoms? And as I was sort of putting some options that I had seen up onto this board and whiteboard in my mind, I started to notice that some of the options on this board felt more colorful. Some options felt like they faded away into the background. And inevitably, after a couple of times doing it and getting like the same sort of imagery in my mind, it was, there's two different diets, vegan and paleo. And I started to do some research on it. And the very first thing that popped up was like this vegan thing. And I immediately noticed in my body, this feeling of like, oh yeah, yes. You know, so just that space where I was clear enough, where I'm recognizing some signals that my body is communicating to me that this might be something that is, you know, an answer to my inquiries. I knew almost right away after doing this diet for a little bit that I was seeing an improvement of symptoms. And after a little bit, I noticed that, you know, it's so funny when you struggle with something for so long, you just kind of expect it to be there. And then I remember one day just being like, oh my gosh, I don't have any pain anymore. And so I got myself that gym membership and I went and I was really, really nervous because I was like, okay, so this is going to be the real true test, right? Because it's the movement that, and like kind of, you know, exercise like movement that would really aggravate my symptoms. And I remember doing a workout and being so moved of the results. And of course, you can hear the emotion in my voice because it was a really awesome thing, right? It was this huge breakthrough. And I was able to do it without any pain. And then the next day, no pain. And then the next day, no pain. And so it was very easy for me to change my attitude of like, oh, you know, like, oh my gosh, I have to go exercise. Oh my goodness, I get to go exercise. My goodness, what a joy, right? And still to this day, like I actually do not have to be super exclusive in my eating habits. I'm able to eat some of the things that I now know I am sensitive to or that trigger symptoms with me, which is dairy, gluten, and then high fat meats. So I can still have some of these foods now. I understand now from just listening to my body and listening to my intuition and using those tools to get to those, to be able to get to those places. I understand now that those were like an accumulative effect, right? Mm. So like if you do it all the time, that's when you're like going to be like, you know, going up on this meter where like you're in the red area, and that's when, right. you know, things are going wrong. So
totally.
It was just a beautiful, you know, moment for me in that realization, and was such an aha moment. So yeah.
So that, good.
That's where tools really, I mean, and I still to this day, I mean, I do not struggle with that still to that to this day. And, you know, so I went from afraid that I might die because I couldn't understand what was happening to my body and was in such misery with super high inflammation and not able to listen to any of my body cues, to today where I am very in tune with my body, in tune with my intuition, due to my using these really amazing simple tools and able to live my life in a more complete, full way. So my daily activities are right back to where they were before I started having that chronic issue.
I love it.
I honestly owe so much to those programs. I've told you before how it really is life-changing.
I love it. I love your stories. And some things that I know, but you listeners don't know, is that because Jen had been in like literally crippling pain about this for several years, she had tried a bunch of these things. So the piece of the story that's new, meaning like you had tried, I think, to give up dairy, but not the other things. And I remember when you were That's telling right. our class how it was this tuning into your intuition and what you always refer to as your poster method, where you like put them, place them in your mind and see what's there. And then they either fade out or they become more colorful, et cetera, that allowed you to see that the things hadn't worked because it was more than one. You actually needed to take away not just dairy, but also gluten. And That's it was right. the combination of this. So I love this story so much because I know what a hopeless place that you felt you were in when you Thank started. You. And as you're Truly. Describing so amazingly, like literally feared that you would die. And I watched you, as did all the other members of our class, use your tools to not only climb out of it, but actually totally cure it. To this day, you are now in a completely different place with a gym membership. So yeah. you guys, another thing that I talk Absolutely. About in my class is grounding, obviously. And the best way to ground, let me give you a little hot tip here, is through exercise. It's by far the best way that I know. Anyway, I'm not going to launch into a whole thing on that. But what I do want to say is, so when I'm telling all of our class, you know, okay, everybody, how's it going? I check in always with them, especially in the structure that it has been. Every student is talking. I'm going to say, Amy is going to ask you, so how did it go? What happened? Tell us, you know, what happened. And so Jen was in a position where she couldn't do that thing because it actually was really painful for her. So, anyway, I just think I love those. The story is just so powerful because it shows you that no matter what dire straits you feel like you're in, Jen literally healed her own body and is now, on the beat of what it is telling to her, because of her intuition, because of using these things. So no matter where you start, you also can get there. Even if you feel hopeless and like you've tried everything, because that is the space that you were in before you got to our thing. The other Completely. Thing Completely. I wanted to highlight, another gem of wisdom that Jen's story illustrated, was this question of, well, what can I do next? In terms of this, when you were telling the story of walking and wondering what to do, et cetera, being precise about your question, but also I loved what you said about what can I do next, because it's a brilliant question. And I notice, one thing I know about all of us humans is that whenever we're in this, you know, especially if it's uncomfortable or painful in any way, we sort of want like the whole thing to be gone, like tomorrow, like, or even if it's not so painful, situations where I find a lot of my students are wondering, come to the class wondering, who am I? What am I here for? They're trying to find the thing that is uniquely them, and it has evaded them, or they feel that it has evaded them for a while. And they want that deep satisfaction of what I consider being on your soul's path. And so it's, you know, they'll ask questions like, why am I here? Or things like that. And I'm not, we all do that. So just to be clear, I feel absolutely certain that I've asked that myself, but it's also, it gives you answers that are not as useful, because you might be like, I feel like I understood that I was here to teach or guide many, many years before I was ever doing this. So I was like, huh, what does that even mean? Like, what am I going to teach? What, like, and then when you start asking precise questions like the one that you asked, Jen, of what are my next steps, it gets you to the next step. You do the next step. All of a sudden, you're the next step, and then you're the next step, and you're the next step. And, you know, to use my own example, in my own life, I write books, I have a podcast, I teach intuition. These are all things that many years ago in my 20s, when I was first wondering, what the heck, what am I here for? Even asking that very vague question did not get me there. What got me there was following the impulse one knowing at a time, which led me to the road that I am on, which is actually, I have to say, also the most satisfying way to get information. It's, we always feel like we want the whole meal deal right off the bat, but it's so fun to be like, this morsel, and you're like, oh yeah, this is so good. And then you're almost finished with that morsel, and then the next morsel comes along. And so anyway, as I say this in my mind, I am seeing our grandfather's shiny eyes, what I call them, because he always had this, he always had these like shiny eyes where you would be like, I think I just described this in the introduction of my Getting Answers book, where you always felt like, I always felt like he knew something that he thought you knew it too, but also it was like so good. Like whatever it was that he knew, it was this like shiny game, which would reveal itself in his eyes of like, see, he would never, it's not something he said, but you could tell. His eyes always indicated like, isn't this good? This is so good.
I definitely remember that. And that is accurate. Totally. I would have to say that image that whenever I think about Grandpa is he had quite a big spare tire. So he had a belly. And I think the image that came after the sparkle in his eyes was his belly only. When he laughed, it would have a life of its own.
Totally.
As it would just pop up and down as he would giggle. And so that, yeah, such a lovely memory. Absolutely.
Totally. And it wasn't like a jelly one. It was like, I always made, my grandfather and I had this like relationship where we always made fun of one another in like a really loving way. But I don't, like, I literally have a card, Jen, that is something, the first thing that I, like, when I could just start writing, I was like six or something, and I have a note to my grandmother, which is like, Grandma, I love you so much, you're such a great grandma, or something like that. I can't remember what it says exactly. And my note to my grandfather was like, Grandpa, you've got a big belly. And it had this whole like teasing way. And so it was mutual. He would always, like, whenever I'm reminiscing about our grandfather, but it's so fun. Whenever I would come to meet him, he'd be like, so what are you up to? And I'd say, well, I would be telling him some story about, you know, what my friends and I were doing. And every time he'd be like, oh, you have friends? When did this happen? Like, make this big deal about it. So anyway, his teasing belly, which was actually like very hard, like it was like rock solid. Yeah. I don't know who really knows what was going on there, but I always made fun of him for it. So he laughed right along with me. In any case. Okay. So maybe you've covered this, but I'm wondering briefly, was there anything that really surprised you about what you learned from me?
Sure. Yeah. So really the surprise for me came in how big of a difference the tools would make and how much progress that I would make by practicing these. I think especially the big surprise for me was specifically self-care for empathic people, which is, you know, very similar to self-care for people who maybe aren't as empathic. But I feel like that was really eye-opening for me when I started to do some of these practices and allow for more balance and more clearing and connection to myself through those practices and rituals, and how big of a difference those really made.
So good.
And I guess, yeah, and you know, like when you're not doing those sorts of things, I guess for myself, I didn't realize how much of an energetic fog I had been trying to navigate through my whole life without using some of those tools. So the big surprise for me was just how much progress you can make with them, and how much you can instantly find relief with them.
I love it. I love it. I hear often from my students, it's like, actually, I think I'm thinking of one in particular who she told me once, she was like, before we started, I was like, yeah, yeah, I know all this stuff. And actually she didn't say it like that. She was like, yeah, yeah. Like, it's so simple. What you're saying is so simple, which it is. And I always say that. I'm very clear about, look, it is simple. You guys, it is really simple. But she was like, and then I started doing them. And I saw, oh my gosh, she's totally right. This is so simple, and yet it is so profound. You're like, you hear, you should do your self-care. You should, you know, many people are saying this. I love that many people are saying this. We see it all over the place right now. But then when you do it, you're like, oh my God. Like, it's hard to even express how deeply satisfying living your life via your intuition and paying attention to it really is. Because the things that happen outwardly are amazing and they're cool. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're like nobody even notices but you. And that's, but it doesn't matter, because the experience of it is like this soul deep satisfaction that happens. And as you're mentioning so brilliantly, Jen, well, one, it's all very simple. And literally, just doing the things, you make enormous progress. Like Jen goes from feeling like she might be dying to in her seat of power.
Absolutely. And I would just add that, you know, even if the practices themselves might be simple to complete, it's really all about that intention, the why behind it, which helps you really reframe how you're looking at everything. And in that reframing, be able to completely change how you interpret the world and then are in the world. And so it's like a beautiful structure that within that structure you are able to build.
Okay.
You know, it's like setting up a framework.
Setting up the framework. Describe to me, what do you mean about the why? You started with the why.
So it's not that, it's not just the I'm doing these self-cares. It's the why. It's that intention. It's because why am I doing this? Is because I'm worth it. It's because I deserve to feel whole, and I deserve to feel balance, and I deserve to be on a path that is respectful of my values and my purpose in this lifetime.
So beautiful. So beautiful. That seems like the perfect place to start to wrap this up, because
sure,
we are at time. But Let me just think here if there's anything else that I feel like we covered so much and your stories illustrate them so perfectly. Is there anything else that you want to say that we haven't, that you didn't get a chance to say?
Sure. I think the thing that I wanted to just say briefly was just the idea that you had posed that if you were going to say something to yourself at the beginning of your journey, and I would say to myself, of course you're run down and the world around you appears unclear sometimes. You're trying to look through and navigate the kicked up energy of everyone and everywhere you've ever been, just like living in a storm. This does not make you bad or weak. You're actually good and strong. Extend the kindness and care that you extend to the others in your life to yourself in taking the time and effort to explore your empathic traits so that you can reframe what might feel like overwhelm or burnout into healing and sturdiness.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Jen. Thank you for taking the time to think about that and share it with everyone. Because
thank you for having
it's me. For all of you. These conversations are always for all of you. So you can see that Jen is a gem, and I hope, I'm sure, really, that hearing her very specific stories about using your intuition to navigate serious health crisis and also travel tips is very useful. And also just want to say thank you all for indulging me of talking about our grandfather, because he continues to be one of my favorite subjects. So thank you so much. And Jen, thank you so much for being here. I love you.
I love you. My pleasure.
All right, hon. And we'll see you next week, everyone. Thank you for listening. I hope today's conversation inspired you to trust your own intuition and to understand it, as Jen so aptly put it, as your seat of power. I truly believe the world is made better by you sitting in and moving from your power, and inspiring others to do so is the whole reason for this show. And so I request your help. Can you take 2 to 5-star this podcast wherever you get yours and write a review and or share it with your friends? Thank you. I've got freebies for you and an upcoming program. So get your bum over to aimeecartier.com and jump on my mailing list or download a gift from the show notes, and you will be sitting in your power soon. All my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.